Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kostos and Barkley here with you. You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff. Odyssey stations throughout the country. Shout out to YouTube. Shout out to Twitch and however you're consuming the show. We appreciate you. The hashtag, the You Betters, the real ones. If you like the show, if you're tuned in for the first time, be sure to check us out. We are on weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on all the places that I just referenced and even more. And you can find us in podcast form as well, which we greatly appreciate. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. The show is on Twitter at You Better You Bet. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at the Kostos, T-H-E-K-O-S-T-O-S. And my guy, Ken Barkley, your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, is on Twitter at Lockie Lockerson. Still to come on the show, teaser discussion, both of the monster four leg variety, 13-point variety, the traditional two-team six-teamers, best bets to close the show, big-time prop discussion to get you set to bet and win on props today, and Odyssey Sports NFL insider Michael Lombardi joins us 40 minutes from now at the top of hour number two with his takes on all four games coming up this weekend. But right now, Ken, you've heard of, what's the movie webpage? IMDb?
IMDb, yeah.
What do you think of this? I've been workshopping this. IDBB, in-depth betting breakdown on YBYB.
I came up with it like on YBYB.
I came up with it about 30 minutes ago.
Okay. You were in the lab, aka just probably having your second cup of coffee for the morning.
Well, that's actually correct. That was the second cup. The one that you're going to see me drinking during this segment is the third. Because we were on the air literally.
The first cup is what the first cup's what got you to your desk in the first place, basically. That's, like, that's the only way
exactly
we were able to
right.
get there.
Yeah. You know, so the ID, the hashtag IDBB on YBYB coming your way right now. The in-depth betting breakdown for both of the games coming up today. And we will start, Ken, in the Music City, where, as we talked about to open the show, the Tennessee Titans have moved out to a 4-point favorite with Derrick Henry back in the lineup against Joe Burrow and the upstart Bengals. The total in this game is 47.5. Now, this is the CBS game, but it'll be Ian Eagle and Trent Green. We wish Charles Davis well. He's been on You Better You Bet in COVID protocol, so Trent Green stepping in for Charles Davis on CBS. And just be prepared right now, everybody. And we'll talk about this tomorrow with the referee of the Rams-Bucks game. I don't even want to say his name because I feel like it's like, who's the killer in the movies where you have to say his name? Like
Candyman.
Candyman.
Say his three times. Don't
say Sean Hockley three times.
Right, or you get a personal foul.
Or you get a roughing flag. Yes, that's what's going to happen. Cleet Blakeman is the referee of the Bengals-Titans game. I don't think we're going to reach like Jerome Boger levels of chicanery like we saw last Saturday with the Bengals and Raiders, but Blakeman is brutal. So just like be ready for some bogus officiating in this Bengals-Titans game because, you know, the referees are the real stars, not the players in the game. Anyway, Titans laying four against the Bengals, total 47.5. Ken, let's start to unpack it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the formation of line, like how we get to this number, and we talked about the movement, so the opener to now or in the first segment of the show, but just like how collectively do we decide that this is the right difference between the teams? There are a number of factors that go into it, and it's worth knowing them before I think you make what you would consider a valuable bet on the game. My theory on this number especially is I still think a number like 3.5, 4 implies that on a neutral field, the Bengals are actually a better team. And I think if you look at the NFC game tonight, that'll make a little bit more sense. So two things that are heavily valued in postseason point spreads. One, postseason home field advantage is stronger than regular season home field advantage in the market. Now, you may look at specific situations and say, that's crap. I want to bet the opposite side. Great. You can register that opinion and be right, maybe sometimes, about it. But just in terms of how it affects point spreads in the market, home field advantage in a playoff game stronger than the regular season. So you see Tennessee get a little bit more credit than if these two teams were to play in the regular season. Point number two, and it can't be ignored, it's such a strong force in this game and the night game. The team that gets a bye from the wild card to the divisional round, even when there used to be two byes, now that there's only one, that team is rated much higher in this single game than we've seen previously. So basically, if you take those two very strong factors together, playoff home field and the Titans having a week off, that easily gets you from, I think, a number, like I mentioned before, that my number in this game taking place in Tennessee in the regular season with Derrick Henry out was probably like pick Tennessee minus one, something like that. I don't think Agreed. I was really far off there, honestly, if you look at Tennessee's closing spreads against a number of teams. But Derrick Henry back is a little bit of it. Playoff home field is a lot of it, and week off is a lot of it. And that's how you get out to this number. And when we do the night game, it'll be the same thing. So, you know, I'm sure people look at that and go like, well, Burrow's better, and like Cincinnati's a better team. Yeah, yes, the market's actually agreeing with you in saying that. And that's why this number is four and not six or six and a half or something similar to what we're seeing in the night game. So, I mean, seems like a bad reason to make a bet. I was like, oh, well, Cincinnati's better. Yes, but there are all these very specific situational things that historically have been very valuable, which are being applied also to this betting market.
And it's worth noting that that last week, and you nailed this yesterday on the show on Phenomenal Football Friday, Ken, and look, like, Joe Burrow is better than Ryan Tannehill. Like, no one's saying that's not the case, but you know what else is also true? Like, Burrow is better than Tannehill. That's true. You know what else is true? And again, like, you nailed this yesterday on the show. The Bengals were not impressive last week in beating the Raiders. Like, this doesn't mean that the Bengals can't or won't cover the spread or win the game today, but, like, it's not like, Ken, Cincinnati was uber impressive in taking down the Las Vegas Raiders last week.
Yeah, with the Jerome Boger officiating controversy, which loomed over that game, it was sort of forgotten about, like, you know, sort of with the and the other five games on Super Wildcard Weekend, obviously, taking some of the headlines as well, that the Raiders on a yards per play basis in that game, so not total yards, but like per play basis, outgained the Bengals in that game, which is pretty significant. It's like a key metric that I use in handicapping a lot of games so far this season, postseason games. The Raiders outgained the Bengals on a yards per play basis. The Raiders went 1-for-5 in the red zone in that game and committed a billion penalties and had a million boneheaded mistakes and still had a chance to win the game at the end. So are we really coming out of that game being like, wow, Joe Burrow covering a number, like Bengals moving on to the next round, like Joe Cool? It's like, or... like, what a weird final score in a game where the Raiders had every reason to play terribly in that game. They played Sunday night against the Chargers at their place for a playoff spot, went to overtime, and flew on a short week, and outplayed Cincinnati in the game. And
not just overtime, overtime down to the final play, like an extra quarter.
Like should have been a tie overtime. Like, that's how much overtime that we had. Like, Brandon Staley ruining the tie overtime, that amount of overtime. And so I think that's kind of gotten lost with the six games. It was the first game. It had a terrible refereeing decision in it, and I think that's gotten lost a little bit. Like, knowing that, now you really want to take Joe Burrow on the road now at a short week against a team. And historically, it's worth bringing this up. Mike Vrabel, the Tennessee Titans have never been off a bye before in the playoffs. So this is a unique situation for them. We have no frame of reference. We have a ton of frame of reference for Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, but we have none for Mike Vrabel. But we can look at off a bye, mini bye on Thursday night football when they play the next week, extra time to prepare, which in college football is actually a really, really significant deal. And in the NFL, you don't get it as often, but we have a feeling about who does really well with extra time off. Mike Vrabel has never lost off of a bye or a mini bye, and he has covered basically every single number. I think it's like 8-0, 7-1, or 8-0, 8-0. And it's not that that's the end-all, be-all, but it is interesting that this is someone who is viewed as a very good coach, who has gone over his win total in the market every single year that he has been coach of the Tennessee Titans. They have gone over their win total. These are things that definitely tend to point to being a very good coach, outperforming market expectation. And then you look at the time off angle. Like, So anyway, from a betting standpoint, we're going to do best bets later in the show. I think the Titans are very, very likely to win this game. Now, the market is starting to catch up to that. Go to four, money line going up. I think their chance of winning the game is still not being priced quite properly in the market, but we're getting there very fast. So I think, you know, Titans money line, something like that. I think the spread is pretty close to what it needs to be, especially if it's going to be four everywhere.
We need the LeVar Ball soundbite for the Mike Vrabel coming off a bye. Undefeated, never lost. Some on-field stuff for this game, and I bet the Titans minus 2.5. I think the Titans are going to win the game as well. Derrick Henry's obviously back, and it's not just Henry being back, but in concordance with Larry Ogunjobi, you know, the big run-stuffing defensive tackle who's awesome being out for the Bengals, lost for the season last week in the win over the Raiders. The Bengals low-key allowed 6.4 yards per carry last week to the Raiders. If the Raiders were not extraordinarily dumb as a team and a coaching staff, they would have pounded the ball with Josh Jacobs all game long. Tennessee's play action game, I expect to be effective here with Derrick Henry back, and not just Derrick Henry back, but Julio Jones. I don't know if he's at the height of his powers, like when he's like first ballot Hall of Fame, but like he looked back in week 18, 10 targets, 5 catches, 58 yards and a touchdown. I think that's a big deal. I think Ryan Tannehill could be, wait for it, sitting on a big performance in this game. So yeah, I'm with you here on the Tennessee Titans, and we'll give our full breakdown of like what to do with the spread being what it is now and the total being what it is now at the end of the show in the Best Bet segment. It's You Better You Bets Countdown to Kickoff. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you on the BetQL network. Search us wherever you find your podcast, You Bet, if you like the wagertainment that you are listening and watching right now. We move to Saturday night, frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Literally, it's going to be like 0 degrees. It's going to be frozen. It's going to be cold. Packers, a 5.5-point favorite against the 49ers. The total here is 47. This is the Fox game. It'll be Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on the call. Ron Torbert is the referee. I don't know who that is, which means he's probably a good referee. That's generally how this goes. If you know his name, he's bad. If you don't, he's probably good. So, Ken, let's break it down. Packers and the Niners, your thoughts on the market and how you see it playing out.
Yeah, I mean, we can pair these two games together in terms of what we consider to be important factors in making a number on the game. So you see Green Bay 5.5 with 6 earlier in the week. You think, oh, man. Like, are the Packers that much better than the 49ers? And the answer, of course, is no. On a neutral field, these are two teams that are probably rated pretty evenly, and the Packers are probably rated a little bit better on a neutral field. And then you weight all of the situational stuff that is unique to this game. Packers playing in a home game, night game at Lambeau Field. Home field advantage for the Packers in a playoff game is significant, but considering their home-away splits so far this year, too, basically an unbeatable team at home covering a million numbers, that's going to be worth a lot in a playoff game, basically. So we factor that in. That gets us a larger point spread. Then we also factor in, obviously, as we did with the Tennessee Titans, that the Packers have had a week off, and they're going to get back a couple injured players as a result of having a week off. But that rest, coupled with the Niners obviously traveling again after going to Dallas last week, unique situational stuff to this game is what's creating a number that's this big. So as I did with Tennessee Cincinnati, I told you if they played and it was like week 13, game is in Tennessee, might be a pick, might be Titans by one, might be something like that. This game's probably Packers 2.5 if they end up playing in, you know, the middle of the season, basically. It's worth noting that they played much earlier in the year, week 3 on Sunday Night Football. Niners were favored in that game at their place by a field goal. So like, again, the market's not actually telling you there's a big difference between these teams. It's saying there's a small difference, and then there's situational stuff, Packers at home, Packers off a bye, that needs to be weighted into the expectation for the game. So just make a bet kind of knowing that all that stuff is priced in there. That's what's creating the very large difference. And now I think we're kind of faced with the unenviable task with a hurt quarterback on one side of kind of figuring out what to do with the number 5.5.
Yeah, it's a little difficult. The current number 5.5. This was 6 on Thursday morning. I pulled the trigger on the 49ers at +6 once we got a Jimmy Garoppolo clean practice report, practiced in full at the end of the week for the San Francisco 49ers. Nick Bosa clearing concussion protocol yesterday. He had been practicing, so Bosa is good for this game. Fred Warner practiced in full. He's good to go. Elijah Mitchell practiced in full. He is good to go. Garoppolo as well practicing in full and is good to go. And Ken, we touched on it in the first segment. It's wild to think that the team coming off the bye, right, has got more injury concerns than the team that played last week and 6 days ago on Sunday. But Bakhtiari may not play in the game. Green Bay star left tackle, the All-Pro, who made a season debut in week 18 against the Lions, experienced swelling after that game. He may not play. Marquez Valdes-Scantling unlikely to play. And you need MVS. I guess you don't need him, but you want him there. The deep threat that opens things up in the middle of the field for Randall Cobb, who's returning, Alan Lazard, and of course, the great Davante Adams. Jaire Alexander is expected back for the Packers, but he only practiced in limited fashion throughout the week, so he may not be at 100% here. So for me, even at this current number, I think I would only bet San Francisco. I think the Niners are going to utilize the quick passing attack, and we'll talk about this in the Prop King segment, right, with Elijah Mitchell and Kyle Juszczyk, you know, the Swiss Army Knife fullback, and of course, the great Deebo Samuel. So at this number here, Ken, I think for me, it's still San Francisco or nothing, even though I got a better number a couple days ago. And of course, that's why you need to listen to You Better You Bet during the week.
Yeah, I'm closer to betting San Francisco at 5.5 than Green Bay. Definitely 1 point on each side worth considering here. We'll do a pro Packers point first, then we'll do a pro 49ers one. Pro Packers angle is that this is a team that under the Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers era, which has been basically the most successful run that a coach has ever had to start his career, playing with, you know, one of the great quarterbacks of all time. This is a team that's been consistently undervalued in win total preseason markets, been consistently undervalued in point spread markets, been consistently undervalued in postseason point spread markets all over the place. And in every situation, you can think of 20 off the top of your head, everyone like, I don't know, like look at the underlying metrics. I don't know if the Packers are for real. And then they just cover the number. It's unbelievable. And like, we're kind of like, isn't that vibe feel like exactly what's happening in this game where
they're
talking themselves into the 49ers? And it's like, well, it's the most successful coach to ever start a career and maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. Maybe we should give them a little bit more credit in a postseason game. So like, that's sort of the pro Packers point, a team that's consistently outperformed expectations in situations like this. Historically, the pro 49ers point is if you look at the Packers since their bye week, it does not paint a particularly rosy picture of a team that you would want to bet as a big favorite against a team like San Francisco, Chicago, which doesn't obviously a team that is irrelevant, Baltimore, where Lamar Jackson missed the game. Baltimore could have won the game at the end of that game.
Went for two at the very end.
Right. Cleveland, Baker Mayfield throws a million
interceptions. Should have lost to the Browns if Baker, the right. Baker like had an NWO shirt on, like underneath right. the Browns jersey in that game.
Right. Absolutely. And then obviously like Vikings who quit basically, you know, in week 18, obviously at the end of the season, that game's sort of a fake football game basically. And then you have the Lions in week 18 where no one played. Like, what is the data point that you point to during this run that the Packers have been on to close the year and be like, I feel good about the momentum that they have going into the playoffs. Just a lot of interesting kind of data points there for, you know, if you're interested in San Francisco.
Yeah, the number currently 5.5 and 47 in the market. We will break down what to do with that game coming up to end the show in our best bet segment. But on the other side, we turn our attention to teasers, both of the monster variety, the 4-leg 13-point, and the traditional 2-team 6-point teaser. Another way to bet, divisional weekend in the NFL. It's coming up next. You better, you bets. Countdown to kickoff.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.